I want us to speak for about 10 minutes and just really start something, which can then be an ongoing conversation that we can have together to unpack a little bit about what we're talking about, okay? So we were talking last week, because that's how long-term planning we like to do things. And we were saying, well, what are we going to do on Sunday? And we were thinking about it and really felt we wanted to talk a little bit about the subject of friendship. So first of all, let's have a little conversation with each other about a time, and maybe you can think back to a feeling where you were with somebody and you were having such a good time with a friend. Can you think of when that was? Now, for some of you, that might be longer ago, that might be last week, but can you just capture that moment in your mind? And what was it like? Who were you with, perhaps? And just 30 seconds, no more than that, okay? Off you go. I was having a chat with my daughter about this. I wasn't supposed to say who I was talking with. Whoops. And she gave me this little phrase that I thought was really good. And she said, a friend is somebody who you're as comfortable with as if you were on your own. And I thought that was really quite. She says, because, you know, sometimes if you're in a social situation, you have to, you know I do, you're having to think, you know, what's the person's name, you know, trying to think back the things they're trying to do, you know. Now, what was the last conversation we had? It takes a bit of effort. Maybe that's just my lack of social skills. But sometimes, though, when you're with your friends, you don't have to think about anything. It just sort of all happens really quite casually and quite relaxed. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, so I quite like that. A friend is somebody you are as comfortable with as if you were on your own. It's good, isn't it? So, you know, if you're looking, think about that opportunity or that conversation you had with your friend, how much of that conversation that you were describing was actually, it was just so easy. There was such an ease to it and a comfort that was just happening. It was just, we had such, you know, that time went past. It was hours that we were just talking about and we didn't really realize it. That's friendship. Now, the other thing I'm thinking about is sometimes that, you know, in a work situation, you've got to know people because maybe you're having regular meetings with them on a, or, you know, every couple of weeks you're going out your office and you're meeting somebody else and you get to know somebody quite well and you have a professional relationship and you talk about them, and perhaps because you've been seeing them quite regularly, you'd sort of know a bit about them and their family. Perhaps you talk a bit about sports or other things that you might do, and you've sort of got a bit of an idea about that person, and you would say that you actually get on quite well. Maybe there's people like that in your office, or maybe there's people like that in this congregation, that you think, yeah, I know that person, I know their name, I know a little bit where they live, I know a little bit about what they do, but I wouldn't really be able to call them my friend because there's so much about them that I don't really know. I don't know what they think about things. I don't know their attitude and their opinions on stuff. And I was reflecting on that, and I was thinking that actually, what happens to me if I'm in that situation? And I think, actually, I'd like to get to know this person a bit better. I go, oh, can I have a coffee with you? Can we, you know, we have to come sort of meet separately out of the context where we are doing an activity together in order to really develop friendship. And so friendship doesn't happen through activity, it happens through intentional engagement. So today, what I want us to consider and just think about is this idea of friendship with God. So if we're thinking about God as our friend, how much of our engagement with God is through activity, or is it through disengaging from activity to actually come into just spending time without a focus in that way? Or maybe, are you as comfortable with God and being in God's presence as you are just on your own? Because we just described that as some of the characteristics of being a friend. I had a dream. We were talking about dreams a bit earlier with Stuart and Pippa, and I had a dream earlier this year, and God spoke to me, and it wasn't a very pictorial dream. It was, you know, quite short, but it was just basically two scenarios. And this dream that I had was really about somebody who was really as you know, like a servant. They were doing lots of things, and they were really working, and they were showing their love and their demonstration through doing stuff. And then the other person was somebody who was just lying back and just was enjoying the sort of the warmth of the sun. It was that sort of mental picture, but the pictures were very less clear than the actual words that I had. And what I felt God say to me, he says, I'm not looking for servants, I'm looking for friends. And it really challenged me. And I woke up in the morning, I was going, okay, God, what do you mean by that? And then I was reminded of this scripture, which is the verse I just want to look at us today. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you, and I don't call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, because I've made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. Now, we've got lots of people in the Bible that were described as servants, and that's a good thing. I'm not necessarily saying, you know, they got it wrong in that. No, absolutely, you know, we should serve God and offer ourselves to him in service. But actually, God has got lots of people who are his servants. There's an innumerable number of angels who are ministering spirits to serve the saints who are sent out to do his will. So actually, God doesn't like need another servant, but actually the whole heart of the gospel is he's looking for a relationship. And he calls Abraham, after whom we are children of Abraham, we are of his seed, the Bible describes. So there's a pattern in Abraham which is demonstrated to us that actually at the heart of it is Abraham was my friend. And I was thinking about it, and I was just thinking about my thoughts for this afternoon, whether to use the prodigal son. So, you know, you were talking about the two brothers. We had, you know, the older brother we were hearing about, who was really working hard, doing everything faithfully. He was serving his father, and he was a bit annoyed at the younger son who'd gone away and spent everything. And that verse that Ruth read, you know, I worked hard, but it was always with you. God was always with him. But did he make the most of that? How well did the older son know his father? Not very well, by the looking of that passage. Because he didn't really understand the father's heart towards the younger son. And if they were really good friends, he would have probably understood a little bit about the father's heart himself to know that how he would respond to the younger son when he came home. So the older son didn't really know the father either, because he has a servant mentality as opposed to really being a friend. And the context for this passage in John 15 is that wonderful passage about abiding with God. Abide with me. And it's this whole sort of cry of Jesus going, you know, I don't just want sort of casual interactions. I want something which is an abiding, enduring relationship. Remain in me. Remain with me. Be with me always. And that's the passage that this verse is in the context of. And it is also the heartbeat of God. I want you to be with me, and I want to be with you. That's what the gospel is about, that together we will be united in Christ. So also we see in here, I've called you friends. And it goes, it's this amazing thing afterwards, because I've made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. That's just an incredible statement. Because we know about it, and you probably do it with your friends. Friends share secrets. And if you look through, this is John speaking, and he obviously was the person who wrote the book of Revelation. And that's a little bit of a secret. And you talk about the mysteries of God being revealed about somebody who was, you know, somebody who leant on Jesus' breast and was there. But there is a wealth of revelation for those whose primary focus is friendship, not activity. Intimacy, not service. Now, I've used the word friendship this afternoon, and we were discussing it, and you know, the word intimacy is up there. We want to become intimate with God. We use that in Christian circles, but sometimes it's really quite hard to unpack. What does that actually mean, being intimate with God? It's not like a phrase you would use often in normal language with your, you know, in normal conversation. But actually, if we think about it from the point of friendship, we can understand it a little bit better, I think. God spoke to me when I was reflecting on this, and he said this to me: friendship is the door into the house of the abiding presence of God. Friendship is the door into the house of the abiding presence with God. And we see in Luke, in Revelation 3, the church of Laodicea that lost their first love. And we know that's a really important scripture for us in this church, that God has spoken to us in that way in the past. They were neither warm nor hot. They were lukewarm, and they'd lost their first love. And so what Jesus says to them, that they first of all got to get eyes salved, that they can see properly, they can see their condition that they really are in. But then he talks about saying, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. So the solution that Jesus is even describing in this passage for this church that lost its first love was, come back to the table and just enjoy friendship with me. So if you are even in this context thinking, I really don't know how to engage with God, I feel I've walked away a bit, then the answer is just simple. Just come back and just sit with him. There's an invitation to his table that is always present. God's looking for friends, not people who are servants as their primary focus, finding their relationship with God identified by what they do for him. But it's about knowing him. So that's really briefly what I wanted to put to you, just as a sort of a setting the scene and arguing a case that really God is calling us to develop friendship with him. Friendship with God, someone who you're comfortable being with, that you are able to be with, and you're developing time with, not based upon activity. Maybe you are shifting your way of engaging with God. Maybe you're a bit more like the younger son, that you actually feel no worth. And we were singing that song, when I felt no worth, your love came for me. And I think there's some people here like that this afternoon, that actually the whole thing about friendship is a bit of a challenge, because you think, what, God would want to be friends with me? But you don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but he does, and he still wants to be friends with you. While we were dead in our sin, he died for us. That's what the Bible says. So there's a call for friendship. And the question is, how do we develop that? How do we develop our friendship with God? Now, there's a number of different ways. But we've got some testimonies of people who perhaps can give us a little bit of insight about what that's meant for them. How have they developed friendship with God? And then we're going to have a chance to discuss that across our tables about what that means for us. So who we got first?
First up, if you put your hands together for the incredible Rosalind. You're first, Ros, because you're the best. You're the most prepared, I think. Yeah, you had the most notice, for sure. So, three simple questions, the first of which is about the disciplines. So, what kind of disciplines or things do you put in place in order to enable your friendship with God to develop?
Sorry. Yeah, I think it's a lot about spending time and just setting apart time. And like David said, with a coffee, I always make a cup of tea before spending time with God, which seems a bit silly, maybe, but I think it's just about separating the time off and being like, okay, I've got a cup of tea, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to spend time with him. Moving away from distractions is always good.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And on that vein, what then, are there any resources that you use to help you, maybe books or apps or places or what, coffee, obviously?
My Number one go-to is the Church of England daily prayer app, is it?
Preach.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I mean, it's got a load of liturgy, but that's great. But I really value it, mainly because it starts with giving you set prayers to pray, so you're not praying rubbish, and having you read the Bible, and it's great because it makes me read the Bible and realize things about God before I just splurge all my thoughts to him. I'm not like, okay, God, here's what I'm feeling. It's no, sit down. It gives me a psalm to read, gives me some prayers to read, so I'm focusing on him and not on, you know, all my wants. And then you have to work through all the psalms and scriptures until you actually get to the intercession bit, which I think has really helped me in that, because I'm not very good at the whole two-way thing.
That's great. So good. And finally, what experience have you had? What's the culmination of all those things, and how has that affected your experience with Jesus?
I think that, you just get to know him better. And I think the Bible's so important. I think actually it's taking time to read the Bible, because that's, that's how we know God's secrets. It's how we know about him. And, it's that two-way, and getting to know who God is through that, and just being able to be open and, just letting him know everything and going through things with him. I think it just gives me real peace. When I spend time with God, I just come away feeling a lot lighter load, because I know that, he's there with me, and that's great.
Come on. Thank you so much, Roz. Roz also reads like 1,000 books a day. I always I get a new book and I'll be like, Roz, I've read this book. You should read it. She's like, yeah, I read it. Already read it. I read it years ago, mate. Next, we've got Stuart. Okay, amazing. Let's hear it for Stuart. So same questions. What disciplines or what things do you set aside in your life to create space to grow your friendship with God?
Yeah, Roz already stole the most important one, which is time. Something that God spoke to me about this sort of season is about hearing his voice clearly. And because there's that bit in the, when Jesus is talking about being a good shepherd, he says, my sheep know my voice. And it's like when you are in a crowded room with lots of people talking to each other, but someone you know really well comes in at the other end of the room, you just hear their voice. You can hear it through all the other voices. And I think often our life is really busy and we're hearing lots of voices. So if we're going to hear God's voice, we need to, get used to what it sounds like. And that comes down to spending time, as you were saying, with him and with his word. So one thing that we do as our little group of families, we have a day a week set aside where we agree to fast in some way. Everyone does it differently, but do some kind of fasting and spend that time focusing on God, on his word, and on prayer. So that's, one of the disciplines we do.
So good. I love it. Fasting's amazing. If you've not tried it before, you should try it. Speak to me if you have any questions. I enjoy that subject. Secondly, what resources? So books, apps, people, places?
I really like a lot of the sermons from St. Bee, so I'm very happy that we can get them on the internet. Another thing I've found really good recently is Tom Wright has written a series of books called The New Testament for Everyone. There's different one for each book he's working through gradually. And they're fantastic because they give you a bite-sized chunk, sort of 3 or 4 pages every day. And they're always really like thought-provoking. And I find that really helpful. That's been really useful to me recently.
Yeah, they're so good. And finally, what's your experience been with those two things? How has that developed? What's your relationship like with Jesus?
I think I've still got a lot to learn, very much so, as we all have. But one example from recently, we mentioned earlier, I think, that we've been living where we live for 10 years. And actually, when it came to that 10th anniversary, which was a few months ago, I had a little bit of a wobble. I was like, God, we've been here for 10 years. We haven't yet seen, the outbreak of the kingdom in the way we would like to see. And actually, it's not as fun as it used to be. I was feeling a little bit out of sorts there. And my wife very kindly set aside some time so I could go away and just spend some time with a cup of coffee and various other things and in nature and praying. And during that time, God really spoke to me again. He gave me a new kind of purpose verse took me through some scriptures, and I came back with a real renewed sense of purpose and vision for what we're doing. So that's just like one example of one time, but there's lots of things like that you could pick out over time where God uses that to encourage us and speak to us.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Stuart. So good. And lastly, but by no means least, we have the incredible Michael Holmes. Let's hear it for Michael. This dashing shirt you've got on today. I love it.
Just for you, mate. Just for you.
So could you tell us a bit about the disciplines you use? I'd be interested to hear what you do in terms of your rest and poetry as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, for me, I think I have a day of Sabbath rest, and actually it was from the talk that you talked about that really I just heard God speak, and I was convicted that I actually need to start doing this. So, and in that day, it's like, say, I do meditation upon his word. Also, I do stillness and silence. Fasting as well, recommend that. It's really good. Definitely, that has changed a lot. And then also, like, say, poetry I do as well. I do that on my Sabbath rest because I really connect with God in that way.
So good, so good. It's good as well. You should ask Michael to send you some of his poems. They're amazing. And resources-wise, do you have any particular books, apps, people, or places?
I think a book is really good. It's by, Dallas Willard. And it's one that, actually, you recommended to me, and I really good. And that's about the spirit of the discipline. So I really recommend everybody to read it because, honestly, it changes your life. Well, spiritual life. So I recommend that definitely. And then also podcasts. I've got into podcasts now, and I love it. And that's really good of just like listening and kind of like hearing other people and their kind of wisdom. And it's one that I've got, which is by a woman called, I think, Ruth Haley Barton. And that's all about kind of your strengthening of the soul, of leadership. Even if you're not in leadership, it's still really good to get like in the habit of thinking, kind of about developing like relationship with God and ministry and serving and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Great. Thanks, man. And finally, how has that affected your experience and your friendship with Jesus?
I think two things. First thing is that it's really deepened and it's enriched my faith. And I think also it's just helped me really to hear from God much clearer. I think, yeah, like than I used to before. I think I'm much able to hear him better now. And that's mainly because of the stillness and the silence of just being still and also actually not having my phone on me. That's been so amazing. I think in this culture, we are so easy much we can't live off our phones. And to have a day of rest is just to go no phone at all, especially if you're having time with God, no phone off, you just put it away. And it's just completely meeting fully, fully focused as we're meant to when we're doing it.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, guys. I thought I'd just very quickly add my own sort of thoughts on that. Now, because you know me a little bit, I do quite a lot of stuff to do with prayer. Let me just make a little confession. I have never had, and I've never been somebody who has a regular quiet time. It's never worked for me. However, you have to find your own particular rhythms and your own particular type of relationship that you need to have, because it's individual to each one of you. So as we have our discussions, hear what other people are saying, but also use that, but find your pattern of your relationship with God. Resources for me, cake. Seriously, I go somewhere and I have a slice of cake and I go out on my own and I sit with a cake and I just enjoy the goodness of God, and that to me is a trigger into just enjoying his presence. So I have to limit my times with God. But actually, there's something about just enjoying God that helps me with that. But for me, my routines is about just the little experiences. So how do I bring God into my daily life? Resources for me, The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence is such a key book just into developing those spiritual routines. And if you know, you can get it free on Kindle. It's an old book, but it's, you know, you haven't heard of it or read it too. But so how do I bring in the presence of God into my everyday? Every time I open the door, I have a routine. I'm opening my heart to your presence. And I do that every single time I open the door, and it just centers me again and again and again. Every time I climb stairs, I'm climbing to the hill of the Lord. So just those patterns that you can just build into your daily routine just help me just to keep centering. Experiences, well, I know more about God. And I think it'd be interesting in your conversations, you know, as we are learning about, there's that difference, you know, Jesus said about the Pharisees, that they knew so much about God, but they didn't actually know God. So as we have our conversations across our tables now, as we sort of focus upon these sort of different things, routines, resources, and experiences, it's not about what we know about God, but how have you got to know God? That's what I'd really like you to have some of your conversations. So we've got about 10 minutes, 15 minutes to have a conversation on those tables around those different themes. Over to you guys. Conversations back. So it's once you get going, it's never enough time, is it? Never enough time. If you've had a good conversation in your group and you feel that actually either through what other people are saying, you found something that is helpful, that it could be something that you could do in the future, just give it a wave. If you had conversations, good conversations at your table. Okay, you've got a few people, yeah? Yeah, we've had good conversations where people have said something and you think, actually, that's going to help me in think about my own relationship and with God as a developing friendship. As we finish up, taking some of those ideas, I want us to finish with, what are you going to do to develop friendship this week? Because we can hear about stuff, we can talk about stuff, and that's great. But what are you actually going to do? Can we go back a couple of slides to that scripture verse in John? Is that possible? Because it says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. That's how it starts off. So actually, there might be things that God's spoken to you in your little groups, and actually, you just feel inside, I should do that. Well then, my question to you then, what is that thing? Just make a mental note of that thing. What is it that God is calling you to do which will help you develop friendship with him this week? And then maybe next week when we come back and have our testimony time, you can give us some of those testimonies. So actually, this week I did this, and as a result, this is what's happened. I'd love to hear some of those stories next week. So that's one thing. Last time I spoke, I was speaking about prayer and prayer being a connection. And maybe, you know, part of that developing friendship is developing routines of prayer, of that connection with God. But there's other things that you've probably talked about. We've got things we've already mentioned. Maybe it's that idea of actually just allowing yourself to really believe that God wants to be your friend. Maybe it's that aspect of actually developing a mentality of friendship as opposed to servanthood. It isn't a duty thing that we're looking for. It's a thing that we're looking for out of adoration. That we do what we do. We might decide to be servants, but we make ourselves servants because we love him. Not because he can demand it of us, although he is Lord of all. It's our willing sacrifice that we offer to him. So we're going to finish there, but I would love us just to reflect and to think about this, not just as an abstract thing, but God, this is what I'm going to do. So I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. We're going to pray just over us now. So Father, I just thank you for you want to be our friends, and you call us to be friends. And you say, Lord, in James, that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And so, Lord, we make a decision this week to draw near to you. So you ask that you would help us. In Jesus' name.